listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, say nigga, I don't want to talk. Meet me at the bank, show me what you really about. Niggas ain't real when that shit really count. That's why I keep my little cat in they mouth. Say, bitch, I don't want a cap. I don't got a cap. Everything I talk, yeah, I really did that. If you want beef, then my bitch gon' scratch. I'ma get money, so I let her handle that. Woo! Free JT, yay! Real bitches fuck with me, yay! don't do shit for free. Man, y'all niggas gotta pay me. Hey, put some respect on my team. I'm the 1501 queen, 501 queen. Bitch, you better learn who run it, cause all the money gonna come through me. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
Sorry, Megan kills me with her ad libs. Feel like every other line. Hey, huh. Anyway, guys, we are live on a Monday night. We're getting a late start. Cause we, took a nap after lunch and yeah. And then it was just like, oh yeah, should we do the show? And I was like, I did promise these things we do a show. So we're doing the show. Okay.
Yes, we are.
That's the whole full truth. All right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, search the Black Guy Who Tips, leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everybody that takes the time out, to leave those reviews. We read them on the show as long as they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by boycotting Amazon. Guys, it's Amazon Prime Day and it's time for you guys to boycott. All right, if we boycott for 2 days, we can help the wages of the workers. And I don't know the exact math, but this is what the people online are saying. And shout out to all the people that are still secretly following Fat Kid Deals. And
come on, you're gonna be ordering, and they just ain't gonna make your favorite.
I see y'all out there. Mm-hmm. Y'all just not retweeting as much anymore, but I see y'all following for them Prime Day deals. But it's cool.
Come on, they got some good ones.
Yeah,
so they got the third generation Amazon Echo for 52% off.
I did see the Echo Dot was only $19.99. Now I didn't purchase it. Okay, I don't want Amazon listening to everything going on in my house, knowing all my business, but I'm just saying, I saw
it was real tempting. You know, I was looking I know they're gonna be sentient. I know one day they might kill me, but right. Ooh, I can't pass this deal up.
I don't want the government in my business like that. They got enough information for Facebook and my iPhone, so I just was like, you know, let me chill.
Right, and for me, just speaking around the computer, because I've been looking for smart water bottles, and on my phone, every app, because like I have, like, you know, Target and some of these other purchases that every single solitaire app, they hit me up by email, and then I forgot some of them when they go through the prompts. They were like, you want me to lie to push? And I go, yeah, not paying attention. And next thing I know was like, hey girl, like all of them was like, hey girl, you know that smart watch you was watching? Hey girl, we see
smart
you
looking watch. At smart bottle.
Hey girl, we see you taking a peek at that Nutribullet. Hey girl. And I was like, come on.
That's what I like about, that's why I people always get mad about that stuff.
No, I'm not mad.
I know you're not mad. Okay. I'm me and you, we're talking. Not under attack here. that's what I like about targeted ads. Like, people always get mad about it. I'm like, these niggas did all the legwork. Yes, I do want a t-shirt with Darth Vader holding up Kylo Ren as if it's the Lion King. Yes, I want that. So, you know, thank you for whatever device was snitching and paying attention to my shit, you know?
Somebody was snitching, and I think I like, because sometimes you know how you go in and you forget, because sometimes you click on stuff, you forget, or you might not purchase it. And I've come to the conclusion, I might be wrong, that the apps on your phone and the websites, all those stuffs are like connected, because I might be on the website and I might be browsing around but not do anything. Next thing I know, the phone asking me, or I search on my phone. Next thing I know, the computer asking me. So yeah, and then sometimes you forget. Yeah, I did want that.
Yeah, it's a lot going on right now, you know, because, you know, niggas woke up today and decided that they was blasting anybody that said anything about it that wasn't completely supportive of the boycott, or at least saying that it was gonna work or whatever. Like, you know, it's that Twitter thing where, like, you can take a quote-unquote stand online and be like, anyone who is against this is against workers and right. da-da-da. And so anybody that even explored, like, the idea, like, hey, what if 2 days of boycotting Amazon Prime doesn't really change anything? It was like, fuck you, this is what the workers wanted. You just against the, you against the people right now. You fucking up. You know, you a piece of shit right now. I'm like, wow, that's harsh.
You have a responsibility to Ruby Dee. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to Dorothy and to Septima and to Rosa, whose blue veins were shining through her arms when she took that seat on that bus. They are the reason. They are the reason we sit here. When Della and Gladys and Pearl and had to walk in a back door of a theater so that we could get on there today in a thong. That's who you open your mouth for. Mm-hmm. You matter. You matter.
That's how people was acting online, right, boy. They was getting them in line.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm a coon then, cause I'm not.
How you a coon? You didn't even order. Did you order something from Amazon today?
No, I didn't.
So then why are you volunteering to be that coon?
But I'm not boycotting either.
Well, I mean, focot. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Unless I need something. I mean, I ain't really. I mean, I did get an email that said $10 off Prime Day if my next order is $50 or more. And the offer has to be redeemed on a computer. I did get that email and I have been staring at it like The Ring and Lord of the Rings all day, but I mean you know, I've been strong so far, you know. We gotta
and more and more you think about it, everybody done caught on Amazon Prime Day. So I'm with Target and Tarjay. Guess what? They got sales going on for the next 2 days too. So I think everybody like, oh, Amazon making this money, we're gonna put some sales on too, because I've been seeing sales from other people.
I was wondering, you know, if people, I was like, why didn't other companies just do the same thing on the same day?
You think Harriet Tubman was walking around with a fucking nice shiny fucking dress on with a fucking crown on her head when she was taking slaves to freedom?
Listen, it's a comedy show, so hopefully people allow us to laugh, but it's like my favorite thing to watch people like soapbox on Twitter about shit like this, because like I didn't even contribute to it. I just laughed because like, you would have thought these niggas were literally like Sojourner Truth today. And I was like, nigga, you just not buying something from Amazon for 2 days. I'm not trying to belittle what you doing.
After these 2 days, like, you're going to be doing that free day shipping like everybody else.
Yeah, but you don't need to put like a Twitter thread hyping yourself up into like, you know, Martin Luther King. Like, dog, you just didn't click the, you know, like next day delivery. Okay, like it's okay.
So it's the
to be like, yo, I
can wait 7 versus 2 like you, yeah, other niggas.
Right, I can wait. I can pay the extra 10%. Like, it's cool. It totally, I don't know, man. I will probably get into it later, but I think, online has just allowed people to like, we've all got to become the hero of our story. And we all have the words to justify anything. What I was really surprised is not to see a lot of arguments against the boycott that was like, what do you call it? Like the woke words, you know, like, well, this is ableist, you know, what about people that need Amazon delivery because they can't leave the home? What about my crippling anxiety? I was waiting on somebody to pull some like that, because that's another thing that people will do a lot of times.
They will sometimes, regardless if it affects them or not.
Yeah, and then of course there's also the element of like, you can always not boycott or boycott and or whatever you want to call it, and just not like try to damn everybody that's doing the opposite,
right?
But people couldn't help themselves, man. Like, it is funny, I'll admit that, but I didn't make any I didn't make any of these jokes online, because I was like, why would I fucking want to clown these people? They're trying to do something good, you know what I'm saying? And the people that don't understand it or whatever, I mean, it's cool. Like, to me, I don't feel like the word really was out. Mm-mm. As much as people would like it to be, there's a lot of people I'm seeing that are just, even in the chat, like, I didn't even know this is going on. There's a lot of people on Facebook that won't find out until 3 days after Prime Day.
Right.
They'd
be like, I already ordered my shit.
Yeah. So it was just funny, man. Like, I was like, how many people been waiting on Prime Day to get these deals on Instapot? And
come on, they got a good Instapot deal, I ain't gonna lie.
Right, we already got one, so don't write us. But how many people was waiting on that shit? Then they went on Twitter this morning, it was like Amazon hit them up at 6 a.m. like, yo, $30 off Instapot. It's like, yo, I can finally make this purchase. So one click approval, yes, send it right away, buy with one click. Log into Twitter this morning, anyone crossing the picket line is a coon and ready for the white man to take over. It's like, oh Lord, what happened? Oh Lord, did I walk in like Donald Glover with that piece in Community where it's like, oh, everything's on fire, let me get the fuck out of here. So
right,
anyway, shout out to my fellow revolutionaries. Okay, we marching on these motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. All right, I didn't buy anything from Amazon today. Now I have one day to go.
Now, yeah, I can't promise you in the next 24 hours because, you know, the right deal come along, I'm crossing the line.
I'm gonna claim my woke cred for not needing to get anything today. Okay, mm-hmm. Made my purchases last week. Mm-hmm. The rest of y'all coons. Okay, I really hate that to know that so many of y'all out here is just out here dancing jigs for the white man. Mm-mm-mm. Just a whole bunch of damn negro bucks and and bed wenches and what else do they say,
whatever else they call
the blacks they don't like y'all, all of that. Okay, because I was too woke to participate. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do well. I just went no line to purchase nothing.
It's gonna be hard. I have to check and see if that deal lasts past Amazon Prime Day to get that $10 off any purchase of $50. But we'll We will see, is my point. Okay,
I had my eyeballs.
Can
on
I get half a participation point if I make it to midnight tonight? Because that's one day all of not participating in Amazon Prime Day, and technically it is a day. You know what I'm saying? They said Amazon Prime Day, not Amazon Prime Days. So I feel like if I don't participate the first day, I did my 24 hours, okay, before I get my $10 off my
hours to lock up.
Mm-hmm, my second Instapot. You know, sometimes you need a spare Instapot, you know, for the Instapot when the other one's full. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, oh, I need to instantly cook some other stuff over here.
One for your rice and one for your greens.
You know what I'm saying? So good luck to everybody. Okay, if you had an Amazon wish list right today, your birthday was on Amazon, I could chalk this up to being woke. Like, oh, I ain't get you nothing, fam. What happened?
They was broke.
You I didn't want to be cooning.
They protesting on your birthday,
dog. I mean, shit. Happy birthday, but I ain't no coon. Okay? So good luck. Next year, hopefully, they won't be boycotting on your day. Okay? but nah, it was just funny to see the internet fights. You know? Like, I don't know. Some days you just look at people fighting on the internet and it's like, y'all not gonna be able to do shit. Y'all just disagree.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you change their mind or not, and pissing, like, calling them names and shit ain't really gonna change, but. What would it be? What would the internet be without that? Let's see.
Boring.
You know, that's a great point, Karen. It would be pretty damn boring. Let's see. What other news is there to talk about? I feel like there's a lot of stuff happening. Haven't done this in a while. I wanna ask you, there's something that I wanna know, and to this question, you have the answer, so tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk
Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me?
All right, let's get to LGBTQ news. Of course, most of it will be horrible, but I thought we'd have a little party before we hit play on this. Let's see. Nevada bans. Oh, this is good news. Nevada bans trans and gay panic defenses in court.
Wonderful.
Yo, we have long talked about this on the show. It's been around even way longer than our show, though. Is this idea that when people kill a gay person or a trans person in like a either intimate situation or even just randomly, sometimes they kill people and rob them and shit. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, no, what happened was they came on to me, and because, you know, they were the same sex as me or they were trans, I killed them. Just, I couldn't help myself. I killed them, and that should be a mitigating factor in the sentencing of me. So whether I attacked them or killed them and say that normally you would get 25 to life, I should get less time because, hey, they were trans, and I couldn't fucking help myself. I killed them. And that was like law. That was like, well, judges and juries would consider that as mitigating factors on like, well, sometimes you gotta kill a person and you shouldn't, you know, if they come on to you and they're the same sex, and you shouldn't have to, you know, like do more, you shouldn't have to do the same equivalent of time for that crime. You shouldn't have the same penalty. So yeah, Senate Bill 97, which was signed into law Tuesday, which has been a few weeks, bans people from using the person's sexual orientation or gender identity as a defense for committing a violent crime against them.
Yes, because a person, an entity, however you identify yourself, is dead. So you need to be accountable for taking that life.
Also, like, this is the same logic that we have for like hate crimes, right? Like,
correct.
This person's gender or sexuality is the reason that I'm going to treat them differently in a bad way. Well, what's more hateful than killing somebody? And then to put in the law, I can also say, well, I killed them because they were gay or trans, and that's just as acceptable as, you know, like that's the same, that on the equal and opposite, on the other side of crime, we have, it's a hate crime for killing somebody for the same reasons. But yeah, I can say, well, in a sexual situation, I can kill them. So yeah, I appreciate Nevada for this, especially considering that Nevada has a lot of sex workers, a lot of you know, like they legalize prostitution in certain areas and
they
stuff,
have brothels in some areas,
right? So you're talking about, you know, an actual industry there, and this will go to protect, because we know a lot of like trans people, LGBTQ people end up in sex work anyway, you know, so maybe this can also help protect some people, or at least make people pay for when they harm them. Let's see. India's gay prince invites homeless LGBTQ individuals to live in his palace.
Go ahead.
The 52-year-old prince has long been a champion for LGBTQ rights and has actively supported members of the community throughout his own organization, the Lakshya Trust. He has been increasingly vocal about LGBTQ rights in the country ever since coming out in 2006, a decision that led to him being disowned by his own family. Since his coming out, the prince has appeared in a number of international events such as the Oprah Winfrey Show and has campaigned extensively for gay rights both in India and abroad. Speaking to the news agency Reuters, the prince said people still face a lot of pressure from their families when they come out, being forced to marry or thrown out of their homes. They often have nowhere to go, no means to support themselves. I am not going to have children, so I thought, why not use this space for a good purpose? The palace, named, and I cannot pronounce this, I will try, it looks like Hanumanteshwar, 1927, will serve as a safe space for members of the LGBTQ community and will also provide help in terms of vocational skills and English training.
Wonderful.
Yep. He revealed he will be crowdfunding his initiative and the effort to build more support facilities within the palace compound through his foundation, the Lakshya Trust. It was not the only good news for the LGBTQ community in India this week. In a major development, the country's top court ordered a relook into the outdated Section 377 of the India Penal Code, which criminalizes sexual relations between gay or lesbian couples and is allegedly often used as a tool for intimidation or persecution.
Right.
Only in August last year, the court had turned privacy as a fundamental right enshrined in the Constitution and held that sexual orientation was as an integral part of privacy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it seems so obvious. Like, they hit 2018, that was when they decided that it's okay, because like, sex is private unless you're having gay sex, then in which case everybody need to know and you're in trouble, right? So yeah, as for the law itself, section 377 has a tumultuous history in recent years. It was actually struck down by Delhi High Court in July 2009 in a ruling that decriminalized sexual relations between consenting adults. This decision was overturned a few years later in 2013 by the country's Supreme Court, which contended that such a decision should not be made solely by the country's parliament. However, despite the court's ruling, even a private member's bill, the parliament is yet to take any action about the law. Well, I guess that it's good that they aren't enforcing it. While the Victorian era law dating back to 1861 does not refer to gay or lesbian sexual orientation, it directly criminalizes carnal intercourse against the order of nature, with the context or ambit of the law even including anal or oral sex and even bestiality. It's basically buggery laws
that they have here,
that
yeah.
people have here in America, they have in England, that is essentially saying if you're having, even in sodomy laws too, although mm-hmm. now they typically add those to sexual assault, but
correct
for a long time, and maybe still, but I don't think as much, but they would accuse men, it was gay sex. It was basically like you had anal sex or oral sex between two men, then you committed sodomy, so we can throw those charges at you and throw you in jail for having sex, you know. Let's see, what is this one? An audio released by Pensacola State Journal on Friday, Florida Republican State Representative Mike Hill can be heard casually discussing the possibility of introducing legislation to kill gay people. What?
They don't see them as people, dog.
2019, and you're an elected official, and that's...
Because that's how people really feel. So when people are like, hey, you want me dead, like people are actually coming out and go, hey, these laws and shit, like people are dying. Everybody want and home and act like that shit ain't real. But yeah, like, you're literally sentencing people to death, and a lot of people actually agree with him. They just won't be this bold. But your words and your phrases and the laws that you pass, what's the end result other than death?
Right. Yeah, the recording taken during May 24th forum held by Pensacola-based Women for Responsible Legislation features a man whom the journal identifies as Hill responding to a constituent who noted that in 1 Corinthians it says that a man who has an affair with another man will be put to death. It says that in the Old Testament too, Hill answered before another person chimed in asking if he could introduce legislation. Hill, a self-described pro-life, pro-guns, pro-Jesus representative, could be heard chuckling along with several members of the audience, replying, I wonder how that will go over. Hill reportedly prefaced his comments by telling the audience members that homosexuality is a behavior and it's a choice, and that you can say, but I was born that way, but nobody's forcing you to engage in that relationship, even if you were born that way. Yeah, and it's not an immediate disqualification for this guy to step out of office, ain't mm-hmm. You definitely have gay constituents, and you, even if you think as a joke, well, you joked about killing them. It's so funny, right? Because people go, the gay mafia, the gay people have better PR than black people. Gay people would do. If you joke about killing black people from office, like, for the most part, everyone agrees you need to get the fuck up out of there. But this is an instance where you can joke about killing gay people, and it's like, I mean, it was uncalled for, you know. I mean, hey, what? That's what he ran on. That's what he a Christian, you know. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. So that, yeah, that's, and of course, you know, he's already against abortion without exception of rape or incest and all the things you would think of him. You know, he's already there. Of course, Florida Democrats demand he either resign or apologize. I haven't heard anything.
No, which they're not going to do unless you force them out of office.
Yep. Scarlett Johansson is back in the news.
Okay.
And in this section, so you know it ain't good.
Uh-oh.
She's clarifying her statements after previously saying she should be able to play characters of any race, gender, and sexual orientation. Now, I don't know if she has a movie coming out. Why did she do that?
I know she has got that not HBO, Lord have mercy, that Disney thing, Black Widow thing on the Disney Plus network.
I think that's a movie. That's not on Disney Plus. That's a movie that's going to come out.
Oh, movie? Oh, yeah. I thought it was like a series on a Disney Plus network.
No. Scarlett's comments stem from an interview with As If magazine in which the 34-year-old implied that she should have the freedom to play any role regardless of race, sexual orientation, or gender, saying political correctness should not determine who gets specific roles. You know, as an actor, I should be allowed to play any person or any tree or any animal. Oh, God. Fam, you can't, when the question is LGBTQ people and playing one of these people, I don't think you want to start being like animals and trees, throwing them in the comparison. I mean I get what she's saying. I'm not trying to say not trying to be a stickler for, I'm just saying you already have a history of having people come at your neck. And you start with animals and trees, compared them to trans people and gay people and shit. Like,
yeah, she did not articulate herself well, and right. People are not going to give her the benefit of the doubt based off right. of the shit that she's done in the past. So She's already on people's list for playing an Asian woman, right. And trying to do that trans role, which she eventually backed out of right. because people got on her ass. And so then, like, if she wanted to do this right, she was like, in a perfect world, I should be able to da da da, da. But you didn't say that, and so that shit matters.
We'll get to that. But I just also feel like what she threw in that tree and animal, if I was a PR person, I'd throw my papers out of my hand, walk away, like, here we go,
right?
Because it's just
costing us fucking money. What the fuck is wrong with you?
And honestly, like, it's just not the answer people want to hear right now. Mm-mm. You know, even if it's essentially true, because she does have this privilege, she does get to do this. And you know, it's funny that the same people that are like, yay Lion King, are like, play any animal. It's like, yeah, well other than Lion King and, you know, Jungle Book, but yes, bitch, we know what you meant. because that is my job and the requirements of my job. I feel like it's a trend in my business and needs to happen for various social reasons, yet there are times it does get uncomfortable when it affects the art, because I feel art should be free of restrictions, she continued. Johansson's words spread throughout the internet and garnered widespread criticism towards the actress. Yes, ScarJo, you should be able to play a tree, because there aren't countless sentient trees desiring to act yet struggling to get casting in roles. But there are a ton of LGBTQIA/non-binary folks who have vocalized that they would love to represent those characters. But during an interview with CNN on Sunday, Johansson said her statements were misinterpreted. Okay.
I bet they were.
Okay, cool. So she's going to clear it up. No harm, no foul. People, players fuck up. She must have learned a lesson. Okay, cool. Let's see what she said. I personally feel that in an ideal world, any actor should be able to play anybody, and art in all forms should be immune to political correctness. That is the point I was making. Albeit, didn't come across that way, she said. Okay, so that's kind of what you were saying, Karen, in a perfect world. Okay, cool.
Because there's ways to phrase that, and my thing is...
She's not done yet, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I recognize that in reality, there is a widespread discrepancy amongst my industry that favors Caucasian cisgender actors, and that not every actor has been given the same opportunities that I have been privileged to. Okay. I continue to support and always have diversity in every industry, and will continue to fight for projects where everyone is included.
That's not true, because you haven't showed that.
Yeah.
So people gonna be in her ass going, word.
Yeah, so that was that's what she said.
Because my thing is, words mean things. So people are gonna expect you to give up roles now, because you basically said that, you know, you're gonna be fighting all the people have. So next time somebody present a role that could bring up a brown person or not, or LGBTQ, or people that don't get seen, people are gonna expect you to give up the role. And when you don't, they're gonna be in your ass again.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I did hear people, that's my first time reading the second apology or explanation, really. And I did hear people say she doubled down in that explanation, but I don't know if I wouldn't necessarily agree to that. The second one is the same as the first.
No.
But as Karen said, unless you're going to give up the roles, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. Nope. And the thing, we talked about this ad nauseum with her, but the thing that bothers me with her specifically is that she does have the privilege of having roles and getting roles and being a creative that has power in that industry. Well, she doesn't have to say the desperation of having to have take this part is what my motivation. You know, she's not hurting for money or opportunities yet. Now, she will be eventually because she's a woman in Hollywood and you get a certain age and they stop casting you and shit. So I do understand that there are certain things that she lives under as well. You know, I'm not trying to say it's all good for all women, but of the women, white women in Hollywood, she's among the most powerful or most successful. So when she says she has to do Ghost, like the idea of if I don't do Ghost in the Shell, this movie won't happen, it's kind of ridiculous. Because like, well then maybe the movie shouldn't happen.
Right.
It's okay. You personally will get another opportunity.
Yes, you will.
So you can go be Black Widow and not worry about this movie getting made. Or you can go be Lucy and not worry about this movie being made. You can do that. A lot of people don't have those chances. Now, mm-mm. Also, that being said, we're just not at the point yet where we can make the argument that, well, anyone can play a trans character when we know for a fact that actors that are trans just do not get a chance.
Mm-mm, they don't even get looked at.
Like, unless the role is specifically about them being trans, they're not getting cast in these cisgender roles. Mm-mm. So once you have that out there, you know, casting directors don't seem to even be changing roles or being like, well, we decided to go with this person wowed us in a, this person wowed us in the audition.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just decided to cast a trans actor in this role that we originally had planned to be a cisgender person, but they were so good. We don't even have a lot of those type of stories.
Mm-mm.
So unless the show is about trans people or something like that, we typically have like, you know, like Pose or something, and people point to that. But the fact that there's one example, really, you know, a character on a show, you know, that, and which is, like I said, that's fine. People, you know, but when we do stuff like you have a show called Transparent and there's a cisgender man who's playing the main character and then he wins an award and he goes on the stage for his acceptance speech and decries like diversity and how we don't have enough and it'll truly be diversity when a trans person can win an award for playing themselves, you know, playing a life experience they've lived. Okay, but that'll require you not taking that job in the first place, or agreed. You saying, you know, I can't accept this award or something. It requires you stepping off the podium, and ScarJo is not ready to step off the podium. Not that these are podium worthy roles she's even taking, but she refuses to step away and say someone else can do this. I actually have plenty of opportunities. So that's why, you know, she's kind of,
yeah. And you can tell her PR person wrote the second statement and not her.
Oh, I don't know, that might have been an interview. It said she was on CNN.
Okay,
so that might have been like an actual like face-to-face
interview.
And also I don't think that statement is necessarily that, like, I don't think that statement is ideal either, but it's just better than what she said before.
It's cleaner, like somebody got a hold of, but I bitch clean this up, we got Marvel money to make, don't fuck our money up.
Right, Marvel's like, hey, what the fuck are you doing, homie?
Come on, you know what, from now on just shut the fuck up. Like, yeah. Nobody, like, if you just play your role and don't speak, we Gucci. Like, they're gonna ask you these questions, do we need to sit you down and train you on the proper way to respond?
Yeah. So let's see what else. All male Morehouse College to admit transgender men for the first time.
Wonderful.
Shout out to Morehouse. Morehouse College is the only all male historical Black college in the U.S. and will begin admitting transgender men next year. Yeah. Now, of course, hopefully they have resources to make sure that these new students will be supported and protected,
because yes,
you know, college is already a tumultuous time for people. Awkward. All sorts time. Of traumatic shit can happen.
Yes,
and this is that thing where, you know, you decry diversity and inclusion, but then you leave people with no tools to like actually be included, to actually be protected, to actually be empowered. So hopefully they have a complete, like, you know,
support system.
You know, and it's not gonna be perfect. So you're gonna, the first people to like apply and be accepted, they're going to deal with some bullshit. You know, it's just like being the first Black person to cross the line. You're gonna deal with some bullshit, but the school should anticipate that and make sure that you're protected and empowered, because you just never know with these motherfuckers.
Yes, and I hope that the university actually, all the classes, but particularly when the freshman class comes in, even before you do, you accept anybody, start talking about it and start being real with your student body and mm-hmm. population. Like don't wait till they get there and to be like, hey guys, stop the book. No. Start that shit now. Go, hey. They, right. You know, hey, like, we might actually have transgender, you know, people here we just don't know of, you know, because everybody don't come out when they do that. You don't know. Everybody's making an assumption that there's not one there now. We don't know. Yeah. They're not open about it. That's the thing. They're not open about it. And so this is something that has got to be addressed. It's almost like you have to prepare the student body beforehand. Most people are very accepting and things like that, but just like any group of people, you're gonna have people that's coming from religious background, religious homes. Like, you're gonna have people that's gonna think this is wrong. So these issues have got to be addressed. They've got to. You need LGBTQ our counselors on campus to help them, you know, professors, like you need, like you said, when you need a support system, you need it from top to the bottom. Have a faculty where, hey, this is my job. My job is to come in and educate people. Therapists, you know, cause you're a university. Classes on this. Don't be like, come on in and just accept whatever bullshit comes your way. Prepare the student body. Prepare the faculty, because you're gonna have fucked up faculty too. Prepare everybody. Just don't throw these students in there 17, 18, 19 years old and throw them in there and just be like, live. And all they just want to do is live their lives and get an education. They didn't come there for all the other bullshit.
Also, not just prepare people, but you need to be prepared if you gonna have to tell some of these motherfuckers to get the fuck on.
Come on.
Like you need to be prepared there for some discipline, because not everybody's gonna go along.
You're gonna have to suspend student bodies, expel student population. Like, no, we're not gonna deal with this. What, you attack somebody? You got to go, period.
Right. Let's see, an actress has been ousted from the UK production of The Color Purple musical after anti-LGBTQ remarks. The UK stage production of The Color Purple will have to find a new ceiling. Damn, that's a big role.
That's one of the main roles.
Playbill reports that Sia Umumba, who was cast as Celie for the UK production of the popular Broadway musical, has left production because of a controversy surrounding her anti-LGBTQ stance. According to the article, one of her Facebook posts from 2014 came back to haunt her. In the post, she stated, "I do not believe you can be born gay, and I do not believe homosexuality is right." One, how did you not delete that one? But see, that's the thing about a lot of anti-gay shit. Motherfuckers be believing it, so they don't feel that it's, like, they feel like it's part of their religion, so they can be convicted convicted in the fact that, like, I won't be apologizing for this or taking it back.
But you took the role of Celie.
Right.
Celie, like, you know, okay.
As the social media found out about the post, Lancaster Curve Theater and the Birmingham Hippodrome, where the music will take place this June and July, stated that a decision to let her go came after careful reflection, including backing from licensed company Theatrical Rights Worldwide and The Color Purple show creators. Now, she is a black woman, obviously, playing Celie. So I guess they probably did have to go through, like, these bigger organizations, like, hey, we gotta let her go, you know, because we don't want to be accused of racism, but come on. The audition process as ever was conducted professionally and rigorously, led by an exceptional casting director, with actors who are evaluated on what they present in the audition room. The parties involved do not operate on a social media screening process in the casting actors. So basically, like, we didn't check our Facebook. That's the only reason we didn't know about this shit. We just go off of if you can fucking perform, do the role or not. If you're familiar with The Color Purple, it's easy to see why Omumba's statements were so controversial. Ironically, she's playing a character that experiences her sexuality with another woman, Suge Avery. Suge also provides Celie with physical and emotional avenues to find herself and gain true independence from her abusive husband, Mr. Perhaps an actress who is prejudiced against LGBT people would not be able to accurately portray Celie's internal growth due to her relationship with Suge. Even if she would be able to. That's such a bullshit hypocritical thing to do, in my opinion.
You know, you basically cannot play this role.
Yeah. you want this check, you want the top billing, you want the notoriety, but then, you know, you want to go back doors and be like, man, fuck these gay people, this all bullshit, get out of here. Yeah, so, and that's crazy, because this happened in two or three months before the fucking show starts. So you gotta replace the main character,
the main star. So basically you put them in the bind. That's the last fucking thing you want to do, because you're probably in the middle of fucking rehearsals,
right? So that's fucking terrible, man. All right, let's see what other news we have. Here we got some other news. Soulja Boy said to be released from jail 150 days earlier for following the rules.
Good.
Who knew? He could still enjoy a summer as a free man, so I guess he can be a city boy this summer.
This summer?
According to the reports, he's set to be released from jail today after spending a little more than 3 months locked up. TMZ is reporting that LA Sheriff's Department is letting Soulja out early thanks to a combination of good behavior, time served, and overcrowding. Good old fashioned overcrowding.
Hold on. Wrong person. Soulja Boy ain't Bobby Smurda. Wrong person.
Yeah. Oh, that's why you were so excited. I was wondering why you were so excited.
I thought about that. I was like, wait a minute, Karen. Wrong Negro. My bad.
Oh, Karen. My God. What's wrong with you?
Wrong black man.
What is wrong with you? So I guess they can keep Soulja Boy, is what you're trying to say?
I don't know what he did, actually. So.
I know
I'm just keeping it real. I don't. So I was like, wait, if you get inside of Karen, find out what it did first.
Oh. No! Why did you do that? Why?
Why did you do that, Karen?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Why'd you do that, Karen?
I don't know. You know I'm old and black. I don't be keeping up with none of these boys' names.
The rapper was initially sentenced to 240 days in jail plus 265 days of community service for violating probation in April. So, he's also off the hook in his alleged kidnapping case.
Oh, see, that's why I was like, let me get it clear first before I cheer for somebody that did some foul shit. Did Love and Hip Hop and they put him off the show for beating that woman.
That is him. I don't remember if it was beating a woman, but I do remember he was on there with Nia Riley. So, yep. Speaking of rappers and activism, Reverend Al Sharpton enters the hashtag justice for Rocky fray. Pleas for ASAP Rocky's, who's being detained in Sweden. So I guess, he had a change of heart.
When your freedom on the line, you have a change of heart real quickly.
I guess he had a change of heart about that whole, you know, not needing activism or being so rich that all this shit is so far away from him. He had his Negro wake up call, as they call it, and now he reached out to
a young black rich. If that don't let you know that America understand black matter these days, I don't know what it is. Don't come at me with that dumb, man. My life matter, especially to my.
Yeah. So I guess he had a change of heart, which I can see why.
Would too have a change of heart.
You can either be proud or you can be in jail forever.
You decide.
One of the major things about this is his people reached out to Al Sharpton to have Al join on, which is probably what he would have to do, because you need somebody that's like seasoned, professional, and that's not gonna be holding a personal grudge against you. Like, as much as I, you know, appreciate the activists that were like in Ferguson and all this shit, some people are so like big on Twitter and stuff that I can see them being like, listen, I don't have the resources to connect to Sweden. Two, I took it personal what you said and I'm not letting it go. So my activism and all the shit I stand for, not for you. Everybody else can get some, but your ass is talking shit.
Right.
And I'm a human being and I don't appreciate the shit you talk, so fuck you.
And that's completely understandable, but at the end of the day, I ask you, are you about equality for all?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the same thing we've talked about before. Like with ASAP Rocky, it reminds me of the conversations we had on here about Sandra Bland, about Erica Gardner, about Al, what is the dude that died in fuck, I can't even remember all of them. I can't even remember them all. But they had things that they did in their personal lives before being killed by the police or dying in police custody that people wasn't cool with. You know, one dude's accused of, like, I think sexual assault or underage relationship with a like statutory rape or something, and there were people that found that out and was like, fuck him, he got killed by the cops, I'm not marching and I'm not saying a goddamn thing for him. There were people that said they found videos of Sandra Bland where she talked about anti-gay and anti-trans comments, and people was like, oh, fuck her, I'm not, y'all can march for Sandra Bland, you'll never see me use that hashtag. You know, there were people that Erica Gardner said some anti-LGBTQ things on Twitter, and there were people that refused to like, I don't care, like, yeah, she died and oh well, I won't be mourning her, you know. And they kind of did the Amazon boycott thing. It was on Twitter, like, going off on everybody, or people was going off back and forth with them. So yeah, I don't think ASAP Rocky is any different from that.
Mm-mm.
I mean, he's not immune to that. He said foul shit about black people that, you know, are dealing with racism and shit, and then he gets in trouble in Sweden and is in jail, and what he's saying was in self-defense case, and that he didn't actually he actually didn't do anything wrong, and he was accused, like, if there's a video of it, but you see, like, him trying to make peace before the altercation. Some woman accused him and his entourage of, like, sexually harassing her, but he, according to him and his people, he's like, that was not our crew. There were people that were fans of us that were with us that were, like, walking behind us and shit, but we had nothing to do with them rowdy motherfuckers, you know. And I can imagine being black in Sweden,
they assume y'all
people
all
probably was
together.
Like, y'all all together, you know. I can see that, you know. I can see some racial bias sweeping in. This American black came here, this rap hip-hop stars, and he's doing all this shit to our women, and it could be a bunch of shit. So now the rich problems you claim to have that have nothing to do with blackness, and the things you say, hey, I don't gotta care about, yeah, it's coming home to roost, and folks are, like, partying off of it. They find it ironic, they find it funny, and I completely understand, you know. And it is funny, especially considering that, you know, he reached out to Al Sharpton now. Sharpton met with Renee Black, ASAP Rocky's mother, and other relatives of the men arrested in Stockholm on June 30th. So it's other people arrested too, but I guess he's the most famous one. At his National Action Network corporate offices in New York, the group appeals to the longtime civil rights activist to help with his release. After watching the video footage of the brutal brawl, which became public via TMZ, Sharpton is calling for members of Congress to join him in appealing to the State Department to intervene, and he is seeking permission to visit ASAP as a minister. Reports of the conditions in ASAP's jail cell and violations of his consular visitation rights are concerning, Sharpton said in a statement. We at National Action Network are appealing directly to the Swedish authorities for complete transparency and ASAP swift return home. Sharpton believes the video footage of the incident indicates the rapper acted in self-defense after being provoked. In the video clip, a man resembling ASAP Rocky is seen punching another man in the street. Later, ASAP Rocky took to Instagram to share his side of the story. In one video he posted, he's heard telling the men, listen, we don't want to fight y'all, we're not trying to go to jail, look, just for the cameras, we don't want no problems with these boys, they keep following us, Rocky says later on in the clip. Eventually he tells the man, go that way, bro, before you get hurt, we don't want to hurt y'all, for real, bro. Yeah, and it'll be funny because I don't know what the laws are in Sweden and if that's precedent setting enough, or if they have some sort of, like, you can defend yourself if somebody's following you type of laws, or if they look at that shit like they allowed to walk on the same streets you allow, you know, what the fuck ever. Or just they go, you black and you're not from here, go to jail.
Come on.
Sharpton also noted the reports from the jail have indicated cell conditions are inhumane, that he has been denied a consular visit from the U.S. officials. On Tuesday, members of Rocky's ASAP mob collectively shared a change.org petition claiming that he and his colleagues have been denied their right to counsel and could possibly remain detained until a trial is scheduled for mid to late August. The petition nearing its goal of 500,000 signatures comes alongside social media support from fellow music acts and celebrities, including Jada Pinkett Smith, Shawn Mendes, and 2 Chainz. There's also social media scuttlebutt recalling the RCA Records affiliated rappers July 2016 hip hop radio show interview where he criticized the Black Lives Matter movement as bandwagon stuff. I bet, I don't even remember, I wonder if that was on Hot 97. I bet it's a Breakfast Club interview. Niggas always go in there and say some stupid shit. I don't know how people go in there. It's like the one place stupid shit and they won't judge you, but then the whole world exists outside of that room.
It does.
As soon as you walk out the room, I was like, what the fuck were you talking about? But yeah, he said, how come black lives only matter when a police officer takes it? It should matter when a black life takes it. It should always matter. All lives matter, he said. And in 2015, during a discussion about police violence and being political in his music with Time Out New York, he called it a touchy subject. So every time something happens because I'm black, I gotta stand up. What the fuck am I, Al Sharpton now?
Come on! That can't be.
Jokes write themselves.
Oh my god, the irony! The irony.
Won't be fooled again.
God damn. Yo, that's really bad. That's real, yep. Real bad.
And Al Sharpton is, not that he's not human, but he is looking at the greater cause. He's like, it's injustice here. So regardless of how I feel about you, I still have a duty. Because sometimes, you can still be a fucked up individual, did some fucked up things, and I don't agree with you, but it takes a bigger person to look within themselves and going, okay, I don't agree with what you did, but the cause and the injustice against you is bigger than, your personal attacks against me. And it takes very, very special people to get to that point where they don't let their personal feelings and their personal emotions get a hold of them, where they look at them and like, fuck you, nigga.
He picked the right seasoned veteran that
yes has had did.
Enough he picked somebody that has had enough people talk shit about him
and then need him,
that is still doing the work, that obviously was like, fuck it, I don't care, I'll help you. Because Lord knows if he would have called any of these new nigga activists, they would have said fuck you. Especially if you called them out by name. They don't even like people tweeting about them. If you said some shit like that in the national press about them by name, like, they would be like, fuck him forever, I hope he go to jail, I don't care if it violates everything I stand for, you know. Wow.
It takes a special type of person. And you know, I'm gonna tell you right now, you know, I hope Al Sharpton lives for many years to come, but man, when he leaves this earth, we're gonna see a shift in how people do their activism.
We'll see, man. That's crazy.
I tell my mom I'll never be like any of those Negroes.
Yeah. What the fuck am I, Al Sharpton now? I am ASAP Rocky, he pronounced. I did not sign up to be no political activist. I want to talk about my motherfucking lean, my best friend dying, the girls that come in and out of my life, the jiggy fashion that I wear, my new inspiration in drugs. I don't want to talk about no fucking Ferguson and shit. I don't live over there. I'm in fucking Soho and Beverly Hills. I can't relate. I'm in the studio. I'm in these fashion studios. I'm in these bitches' drawers. I'm not doing anything outside of that. That's my life. And Sharpton is well aware of Rocky's previous criticism, but feels like, quote from Sharpton, we are all prone to grow. The matter at hand is what's happening to ASAP now.
Right. It takes a bigger person.
Yeah, man. Like I said, these, you know, and I'm not even judging. I'm just saying the niggas that I see talking about activism now are not, they probably would not help him. Like, he talked that shit, and especially by name, they'll be like, well, fuck him.
Right. And to an extent, I think that's a generational thing too. You know, people don't want to admit that, but it is. And it's just one of those things where, you know, Al Sharpton's kind of cut from that old cloth, you know, the old black folks that go, yeah, I know you fucked up and I know you did wrong and yeah, you might have done this, but you know, there's a need, and the need and the cause is bigger than you as an individual. But you know, when you're dealing with people who don't think like that, you won't get that same response. And so it's going to be a lot of people that's going to go to the wayside and not get the help they need in the future.
Yeah. And I know ASAP was laying on that ground.
Don't look at me. Remember me different.
I know he
was wanting to be remembered differently, man. Yeah, man. I mean, it's fucked up, and you know, I personally do hope the motherfucker gets out of that situation, because it sounds horrible.
And
but
I hope change comes. That, I hope change comes.
Change life. Comes. What do you mean?
Like, you know, you read his comments and statements. Like, I hope this situation causes change
in him personally.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I like, you know, I know I'm a bit more forgiving than probably most of the people out there these days.
Me too.
Especially with social media kind of making everything forever and everybody's fuck you forever.
And,
but
and I know go ahead.
I legit do think that his sentiments are not that different from a lot of motherfuckers. I don't think what he's saying is that uncommon, and I think it's a stage in a lot of people's blackness where they believe if I do the right things, or if I just don't worry about racism or bring that shit up, it won't happen to me, or people are making too much of it. And then they, you know, especially when you have been fortunate to be like, I'm talented, I'm getting opportunities, I'm just gonna not worry about it. You know, so many sports players and all this shit, you know. And, you know, and to be fair, especially cisgender black men, you know, are the ones that are like, I'm one step out of blackness if I can just be successful and get some money. And when a lot of times it takes something fucked up happening before they have that moment of like, oh this is real and it's very fucked up. And the same activists and people I was mocking are the same people that, you know, I wish were here now, you know. So and someone had hit me on Twitter saying that when we talked about this the first time, it was like, oh, y'all missed it, it's hypocritical for him to ask activists to help him. I'm like, I wasn't talking about him, and I wasn't talking about activists in general. I made those statements specifically about people that were prison abolition for the ice cream liquor woman, and then were Rocky Can Stay in Jail. You can't be both. And you are a hypocrite if you're both. It don't matter. Like, being a hypocrite is something everybody's gonna be at some point anyway.
Yes,
I'm sure I've been several times in my life.
Same.
Many times. But yeah, you're an absolute hypocrite if you said nobody should ever go to jail, and then you, like, were like, oh, I'm unbothered that he's in jail in another country for possibly something he didn't do. Yeah, you particularly are a hypocrite. If you're not one of those people that was, I don't think anyone should go to jail when it was ice cream liquor woman, or girl, now we know her age. If you weren't that, then we didn't, you know, I stand by everything we said. Like, and I was specific and went over it several times and pointed out exactly what the fuck I meant, because I do find that to be hypocritical, to be, I'm so prison abolitionist, I don't think people that actually do things that may be in danger to public shouldn't go to jail. But this dude over here, he once said some bullshit, fuck him, he can go to jail. Yeah, you're a hypocrite, it's okay, you know, we all do it. All right, let's see what else.
Before we move on, also, mm-hmm. I think it's just human nature to actually, unless shit directly impacts you, people don't care. And that's something that people need to be truthful about. And at the time he made that statement, he never thought that he would be in the situation that he's in today.
All right, yep. Shit happens, man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you gotta
everybody.
Be careful what you say and stuff.
Right.
And hopefully you get to be old enough to change. A lot of
right.
motherfuckers these days, man, and it's just human nature. But so many people act like everything they've ever said was so fucking woke and so on point, and that they just never fucked up. And these dudes typically, not dudes, people are typically like growing in front of everybody,
right.
public in front of everybody,
right,
saying stupid shit in front of everybody. And I mean, to me it's kind of weird, because we expect certain things from these people that they never ascribe to the politics that folks have online.
Mm-mm.
So you're talking about motherfuckers that talk about womanizing and drug use and I see his point of, I'm not an activist, so stop trying to make my music activism. Yeah, and you know what else happens? Sometimes you're not an activist, you don't want your music to be activism, and then you get older and you actually learn more things, and that starts coming out. I know in my life there was times when I was younger and I was like, yeah, this, I don't want to feel concerned about this every day, or I'm not going to speak out about this thing, or I'm not.
Same.
You know, we all, and it's human, especially if you're black, Everybody needs a break. Everybody wants an escape. He could have seen his music as an escape. This is the one time why I don't have to think about this shit, you know, or whatever. Or maybe he was a little coward. Maybe he was just straight up like, I'm afraid to talk about these things. Jay-Z used to rap about how he was afraid to rap about certain shit, you know. Luckily for him, he lived long enough to have some like epiphanies on that shit. You hope, my hope is always for people to grow and to get better, and I'm not going to let the internet change me into one of these people that's like
constantly throw everybody away. Fuck up, you're gone. You're like, well, hot damn, if this same compassion was thrown to you, you would be gone too, because somewhere along in your life you fucked up, you've disappointed somebody, you wasn't always woke, you said the wrong thing, you went the wrong direction, you didn't always have it together. The place you are right now, you were not always here.
Yeah, and I don't just make these case, like, I'm not just saying this for people like a black man. So, oh, well, now I'm just ASAP Rocky. I say this shit for the ice cream liquor girl. I say this shit for everybody. Like, there's people that fuck up, and they fuck up bad. Mm-hmm. And some of them will change, and some of them won't. Some of them will, right, get better. Some of them will won't. And some of them will be in situations that make them have to,
correct,
address the things they've done and said before. So, you know, to me, this seems like one of those situations. We'll see what happens with him. I obviously don't wish, you know, I don't wish something bad, but I don't have any power in this situation. I didn't wish for this nigga to get locked up, but I'd be goddamn if I didn't see them quotes and go, okay, that's extremely ironic and extremely funny. And your ass really is learning a lesson right now. You literally called the dude that you made a joke of not too long ago, you know, so.
Cause he was the one that could help.
Yeah, but yeah, I wish in a way, I mean, it's better that it's not this way, but I almost wish in a way that people that, especially our age, that the shit we said and did when we were like 15, 16, 17, all the way up to whatever, 30 and all this shit, I wish some of that shit was on the record so people could see the things that folks have said and done, but we can hide because it just wasn't out there.
Right.
So if you had a phase where you were saying homophobic shit, it's never out there. There's no tweets for me, people to go back and be like, wait a minute, you're such a LGBTQ positive person now, but when you were 13, you was out here calling people the F word. Like, there is no thing for people to say that. You know, you made jokes about no homo when it was a huge thing in rap, and you know, you didn't stand up at that time, like, because so many people would fail all that shit, because
yes, they would.
The truth of the matter is, you haven't learned. You, life is a learning experience, and until you have experiences, you can't learn. And there are some people that are naturally inclined for empathy and things of this nature, but even then, you don't know everything. I can have empathy for a person, but I don't know the ins and outs of their lives. I don't know the restrictions and things they deal with. So, yeah, I'll just, you know, like I said, unfortunate situation, but completely understand the people that are like, fuck him, you know. I get it.
Agreed.
But it doesn't mean I have to join in with those folks. Let's see what else. Was I gonna do fucking with black people? Actually, no, I'm not gonna do fucking with black people right now. Let's do some white people news, because I want to talk about this Trump shit, and the only way to do that is talk about white people news. Which means I have to play a song first. Let's see, who do we got here? All right, oh, let me bring it on screen so you guys see the video. Sorry about this, everyone.
Ooh, hoping it as bad as last time.
Oh god, that was the worst one.
That get a 0 out of 0.
That was that Outkast.
It was
Hey
bad.
Y'all, or something like that. That was, might have been the worst one we ever had.
Mm-hmm.
If not, it was up there.
Up there in the top five.
Well, let's see if they can do any better on this one. The Singing Barber. One man, one loop, one pedal.
It's frozen on my screen. I don't know.
Oh, it's frozen. Okay, hold on.
Let me see. Do I need to refresh? Because I don't see.
No, everybody in the chat, is it frozen on y'all screen too? Y'all can't see anything?
I see a screen, then I see another screen, like a screen in the screen with the chat.
Oh, okay. It's frozen. Okay, hold on. It was showing it on mine, but let me try it again, guys. This is one guy in his living room doing all this. Oh, I see. Somehow on this screen, it's showing Pocket. Oh, well, that's not what's supposed to be going on there. Huh. All right, let's try it one more time. Nope, that's not working. Huh, I may need to refresh or something.
Okay.
Damn it.
I thought it was just me. I was looking like, hey.
Let me pause this so people later don't have to hear us go through all this. All right, I figured it out, and we're back. Very weird edit just now. Get it, white man.
Play y'all, give me some brew and I might just chill, but I'm the type of
Cypress Hill. Is he beatboxing?
Yes.
I got some bucks on it, but it ain't enough on it. Fuck with the S-T-I-D-E-S. Nevertheless, I'm hella fresh, rolling joints like a cigarette. So pass across the table like ping pong, I'm gone. Beating my chest like King Kong is on. Drop my lips around a 40. And when it comes to get another stogie, niggas okay can like
shit. Oh, he said the N-word!
My homie to begin with. Too many hits to be popping to let my friend hit shit. Unless you pull out that fat crispy $5 bill on the reel before it's history. Cause things be having them vacuum lungs. And
what?
Let them hit it for free ahead.
Hella dumb, the dumb dumb.
I come to school with the tailor on my earlobe. Fighting all the dick teasers, skeezers, and weirdos. That be fucking off the land like with a ball man. Give me 2 bucks, you take a puff and pass my phone back.
He has an accent too.
Like Slurpee, the serious. Bomb will make a nigga go delirious. Like Eddie Murphy. I got gold paintings and Maggie. Cause niggas snap me to take the dang cat out of the bag.
Wow, he went full N-word. Oh, he's doing the singing part good though. Is he getting his instruments? The tambourine?
Got tambourine guitar? What is happening here?
Oh my god.
At least he on beat.
To burn slow, so the ashes won't be burning up my hand, bro. Hoes wanna hit it, but they
guitar.
Know pinch in. Then I roll a joint that's longer than your extension. Cause I'll be damned if you got high off me for free. Fuck that, you better bring your own shit cheap. What's up, though, baby? Sit that.
Shout out to the comments, cause 4 years ago he put sorry for the N bombs. It's the only comment on the video, and it's his comment. How you gonna say sorry for the N bombs like you don't know, like you didn't do it? I don't know how those slipped in there, guys. I just, oh man.
My bad. I got my hair cut at No More Grease, and I just felt like I could say it.
When the loonies gets the flowing in me, guys, you guys know how your boy do. I just had to let the inbounds drop. Total didn't mean to.
I got my hair cut at, We Cuts It Good with a Z, and I'm sorry. I just felt the spirit flow through me.
It just slipped through. You guys know how it is. You just listening to rap music and recording it and using several instruments and recording yourself and editing the video and uploading it to YouTube, and occasionally a couple of N-bombs slip through. You don't mean to.
I'm sorry to the 39 people that subscribe to the channel.
I really let you down. Singing Bar will let you down this week, guys, but we'll get back next week, okay? I'm gonna get those N-bombs taken out of there next time. So, we can't talk about white people news. I'll talk about y'all's man Trump, because that's who white people voted for. And this is such an explosive weekend for white people news with Trump. Because
ain't every weekend.
Nah, this one was more than normal for me.
Okay.
Secret Service move in to stop a full-on brawl at the White House at the Trump social media summit.
They brawling in the White House?
White people was trying to fight at the motherfucking White House social media summit. Which makes sense, cause, you know, somebody finally probably said, hey, what's up with all that shit you been talking on social media?
Yeah. You know what? Somebody looked at somebody and they was like, oh, I'm getting ready to spill all the green tea all over you. Let's do this right now.
Way to class to join up, white people at the White House. Yeah. An outspoken Playboy magazine writer nearly came to blows with conservative activist and former Donald Trump aide Sebastian Gorka. The encounter happened in a full view of 100 right-wing social media stars who were at the White House for a summit focused on grievances against Twitter and Facebook. That is a thing that happened. This is all payback for Obama letting like Kendrick Lamar and Beyonce come, right? A Secret Service agency ultimately intervened to separate the two men. Playboy's Brian Kareem, who doubles as CNN's political analyst, started the melee by telling conservatives that they were a group of people that are eager for demonic possession. "You are a journalist, right?" Gorka shouted from across the lawn. "Say it to my face, bro."
Mm-hmm. They wanted all the dry ice.
"Bring the smoke."
Not smoke, they want the dry ice.
Oh, sorry. Okay. "Come on over here and talk to me, brother," Kareem responded. "We can go outside, have a long conversation." Oh, I don't think he really wants to talk, guys. That's what you say when you want to fight.
Don't be sad.
No, I'm just standing around. This is a group of people that are eager for demonic possession.
And you're a journalist, right?
That's right.
Hey, come on over here and talk to me, brother. We can go outside and have a long conversation.
You're threatening me now in the White House. You're threatening me in the Rose Garden.
Get him.
You are a punk. You're not a journalist. You're a punk.
Go home.
Journalist.
Go home. Hey, Gorka, get a job. Wow.
Just for the record, he'd kick your...
Wow, these white people are out of control. They are really just
thuggish.
Such thuggery on the White House lawn.
White on white crime. Where are your mamas?
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Home training is this.
Are you not a journalist, sir? A journalist, I say. Well, come on over.
Letting all your people down.
Let's have a conversation. Step outside.
Pip pip to you. What is happening here?
Obama would never.
Never.
So then Gorka baited him, saying that White House is threatening him to die. He told him to go home. Social media trauma for Trump. By the way, you want to know who I was there?
White people.
No, you want to know which ones, Karen? You want to know the list?
Which ones?
Donald Trump Jr., Kimberly Guilfoyle, who is Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend.
Ivanka.
Ali Alexander, who's a blogger who tweeted about Kamala Harris, saying she's not an American black period, which was retweeted then by Donald Trump Jr. Diamond and Silk.
They hanging around tough, ain't they?
Yep. Well, Lynette Hardaway and Rochelle Richardson are their real names.
I don't need to know that, dog.
Joy Villa. Scientologist, former bondage model, the woman that always wears the pro-Trump stuff, the red carpet. This is the ragtag group of people he had. All people that just basically cake for him. James O'Keefe, founder of Project Veritas, which you find out was Project Full of Lies because they doctor videos and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Lila Rose, founder of Live Action, an anti-abortion group. Jim Hoft, founder of Gateway Pundit website. Alan Estrin, founder of Prager University, which is not an academic institution. It produces conservative videos. Becky Yeh, marketing director, Prager University. This is terrible.
The university isn't even accredited.
Pretty much anyone that just goes on Twitter like, "I love me some Trump."
Of course.
He invited them to the White House for a summit about how Facebook and Twitter are the real enemies. The place where they make their living, by the way. They wouldn't be able to do it without them. Places that are known for banning liberal people for, you know, being too outspoken. Like that place. Mad liberals? What is this list? Will Chamberlain, not to be confused with Wilt Chamberlain, publisher of Human Events.
Dude, is the I Love Donald Trump club in there? .com?
Right. Jesus. Good grief. Anyway, man, that happened. White people about to fight at the right goddamn White House. Mm-hmm. So to capitalize off of the infighting between the progressive members of the Democratic Party and the stalwart moderate to old school Democrats, Pelosi versus what they're now terming the squad, which is Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashida Tlaib. Now they go by the squad. So I don't know if they've always gone by the squad or just it became, because if it was up to the rest of the media, it was going to be the white passing one and the rest of y'all, right? It was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez
and the crew
and y'all, you know, because that's just what white people fucking do. So now they go by the squad, and you know, when Nancy Pelosi said, hey, if you got a problem, don't tweet it, don't tweet about our members, you know, come to me. And she also and I also said, you come at me, like, y'all can, if you're gonna talk shit about somebody, talk shit about me, not everybody, you know, not some of our, you know, members that are like struggling, because they don't live in these states where you get to be the most liberal person and get that seat.
Mm-mm.
You know, so she's like, you know, if y'all got a problem, say the problems with me, I'd rather y'all do that. Which is not being reported in the media, was not reported about it at the comments at the meeting, but it does frame the whole thing differently, because to me, this is part of the job of what Nancy Pelosi does, is I'm also the person that gets the most criticism, and she's no stranger to criticism. So if y'all want to critique somebody, critique me, you know, don't critique the person in Minnesota that, you know, we might just lose the seat. You think we're going to get a more progressive candidate there, but we may actually just lose that seat and we have less power than we do now.
Right.
And that's her job, is to look at the big picture. You know, the micro versus the macro. The macro of this shit is numbers are the only thing that's going to win for Congress and Senate. If you don't have a majority, all this shit about the great ideas doesn't matter, because you're not in power.
Right.
Which we see all the time now, actually. The reason we don't have impeachment now is because we know for a fact it ain't gonna pass.
Mm-mm.
And if it, and I understand some people just want it because it'll make them feel better, or it'll be on the record. All of it's on the record. I don't know what people think this magical record. It's the record to me is like the permanent record from school. What effect does it have on life?
On life.
None of it's gonna matter. So anyway, not to get into that discussion, but with this being framed as Pelosi versus the squad, as it has been for the last, say, week or so, which I think is brilliant on the part of the squad to make it that way.
Mm-hmm. Great marketing.
Right. It has tumbled into, when AOC said, turned it into, well, Nancy Pelosi has a problem with women of color, which essentially turned it into a racial thing. Which, of course, if you turn it into a racial thing and it's political, here comes fucking Trump, like, ready to jump into the fray. Like, immediately, that he does speak. You know, like, he loves that, like, I'm sure he doesn't love these four, the squad. I'm sure he doesn't love them anyway. But the idea of, like, racial divide amongst the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he loves that. He's the same guy that told black people to vote for him, because why not? What's the worst thing that happened? And there were some black people that were, like, listening to that. Like, yeah, I mean, there's a point. It's like, what are you? I understand you don't like these white people. But to then want to empower, like, an overt, like, bit who literally has the worst intentions for you and the country. That's not a better solution. Just because you Mm-mm. feel like I'm burning it all down, you're actually making things worse for everybody with this shit.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, he jumped in it Friday. I actually saw this live. I was watching on TV, and they asked him about it, and he just was like going in about how he was like, you know, Nancy Pelosi is not racist. Which they never called her racist, although they did say she has a problem with women of color, which I assume, like, people tried to be like, it's not about calling somebody racist. I'm like, man, that's as close as you can get to call somebody racist
without saying racist.
Without saying racist. So
right.
You
it's
are
implied.
Yeah, you're calling her racist, which is fine. I feel like for people that don't like the squad, which is, you know, mostly probably people that don't like AOC, that are Democrats, a lot of them people don't like them because it does feel like they do a lot of throwing rocks and hiding their hand. like they say shit, you say something back, and then they kind of flip the script on you. And to me, it's like, I guess I'm used to it because I've been on Twitter long enough to be like, oh, this is what people on Twitter do all the time. Like, if you say to me, like, we don't agree on this thing, I can then turn that into you don't agree with anyone in the group that I belong to. So, and I've seen it sometimes where it's like two people can disagree about something. One of them's in, if you're a white person and I'm black, hey, you don't listen to black people because you didn't listen to me. Now look, other black people may disagree with me, they may agree with you, there may be other black people you listen to. If you don't listen to me today about the thing I'm saying right now, your ass is racist and you don't listen to black people. And that's the be all end all.
And that's the end.
You know, sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not, but you know, on social media with the lack of context and all this type of shit, you can do that to somebody. And I've had it done to me, and I've seen it done to other people. Like,
yes sir,
you know, and I think we're, you know, everybody's kind of guilty of it, but you're talking about these old school Democrats, older white people typically, versus these new upcoming young people that know social media and they're media savvy and they know Instagram and all this shit. They know how to like hem your ass up and have you looking stupid. And I think that's what is dope about the squad, but it's also, you know, for people that I don't know, that kind of prefer a more traditional approach are kind of frustrated with the squad, you know. Anyway, Trump comes out, says, so interesting to see progressive Democrat congresswomen who originally came from countries whose governments are complete and total catastrophe, the worst, most corrupt, inept anywhere in the world, if they even have a functioning government at all, now loudly and viciously tell the people of the United States and the greatest and most powerful nation on earth how our government is to be run, he said on Twitter Sunday. Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime infested places from which they came, then come back and show us how it's done?
Like, we don't got crime all across this country.
This sparked, I don't know how many, it had to be millions of retweets of him.
I'm so quote tweets. I didn't have to deal with that.
Showing people that said, well, actually, three out of the four of them are from America, and one of them is a refugee. And you know, like you're factually incorrect. To which I'm like, I don't mean this to be mean, but do y'all think 3 years from like now he gonna get it? Like, he is literally the best thing for Twitter. I see why they don't delete. If I owned Twitter myself, me, Rod, a black man who cares about black people, I would not be able to tell this man he could not be on that platform because it drives so much content. I bet you fucking most of their money at this point and investment comes from the fact that this is his chosen place to spew his fucking vile thoughts that they wouldn't let, you know, supposedly aren't supposed to let other people say. But because he's the president of the United States and he decides this is his, they have a really good argument, almost a moral imperative to make sure that people can see that shit. And I would say that they should take him off because he's a fucking racist, blah blah blah, except for the fact that liberal people love to quote tweet that dude and dunk on him.
Yes they do.
They make him more viral than the fucking redneck Republican ass people that be on there. They honestly make him more powerful. They can't help themselves. They can't, because quoting a tweet and saying something sassy about him makes them feel like they did something. It's easier than voting, it's easier than fucking campaigning, it's easier than any like level of like organizing. It's the easiest fucking thing in the world, and everyone's so smug and self-satisfied with pat ourselves like, I showed him, look what I said to Trump. And if everybody is going to the dunking booth and fucking throwing the ball and trying to throw the troll into the water, guess what, you just got a big ass line of people that can't wait to do it. Every fucking thing he says, at what point do you go, this guy's a racist, you can't go through him, you gotta go around him? That's it. You can't be hooked to his every word. But it's us. You blame Facebook, you blame Twitter, you blame everything except the people that fucking help these numbers for this guy. He doesn't care if you're saying something good or bad about him. He just cares that you are talking about him. That's it. So everyone's fooling themselves into thinking like, oh, I'll be the one to say, no, they aren't. No, see, sir, three of them are from America. He doesn't care. He sees three brown people and that's it. Three brown women. fuck them is all your four brown women. They can all go back to Africa as far as he's concerned. He don't give a fuck about the accuracy of it, and neither do his supporters. So you're not even winning over hearts and minds with these corrections where it's like, I didn't think Trump was racist until today. They know he's racist. I have blocked and muted this motherfucker down, and I can't not see him.
Yeah, because when you quote tweet, you end up seeing it.
Yeah, even, no, I'm just saying, like, people can't stop themselves.
Right.
And they blame everyone but the fucking, but them. Like, stop engaging this asshole. You know? And of course, going back to Pelosi and them, you played right into his hands, and more importantly than his hands, you played into the squad's hands. Because you old, and you still a white person, and you going to fuck up because you don't understand the new social media age. And I'm for the record, I am not saying that it is better, the social media age is, like, I'm not saying that, oh yeah, these politicians are much better being, like, some of this social media shit, people will realize, but some of this Twitter shit is not gonna work in real life.
No, it's not. You have to have a balance. I mean, you talked about this the other day. You have to have a balance. You can't be on social media separated from real life, and you can't be all real life separated from social media. Then and right now we're going through the process of finding a balance. And we were talking about before, this squad is what Twitter niggas would be if they were in a position of power. Like, yeah, like this is the end result of that for right now. And I think they're testing the market, they're flexing their muscles, they're trying to see what they can do. So it's a learning process, you know, and I'm not against the learning process. All I'm saying is that they got to be a balance, because just like online, okay, you do these things in Facebook, Instagram, then what? Are any laws getting passed? Then what? Are you registering people to vote? Then what? Are people getting put out of office that you don't want there? Then what? Are people going to vote? Then what? Okay, you was with the hot fire. Then what? It has, some of this stuff has got to go into real functioning fucking life. It has to roll over into real life.
And you can't pass these proposals without coalitions. Like, all the ideas get the most retweets, but when it comes to people that you have to move in positions of power or go around or push out of the way, it's more than just what's on Twitter, and that's harder to do. And I hope that they figure something out, because right now it's a small handful. But if they can galvanize this power of social media, if they can get people to, like, get off the phone and, like, fucking go vote or run for office or whatever, they might be able to get enough numbers to have pushed Democrats so far left that they have no choices to deal with them. I think that's what they're trying to do now. Mm-hmm. And I hope for that, because pretty much all the policies they support publicly or whatever, I can completely agree with. I'm surprised a little bit that, not surprised, I'm gonna predict that eventually you will see a lot of black Twitter people start to notice that they have kind of taken the style of black Twitter,
mm-hmm,
and turned it into, like, politics, right? Which is cool,
right?
But but knowing niggas on black Twitter, at some point they will resent that,
right?
Like, yeah. Oh, y'all are getting further with this than we did.
Appropriation, like, right. It's gonna go the whole nine yards.
I already saw it with AOC, because I saw people a while ago start being like, wait a minute, why does she start talking all black and shit like this? This is like, and I'm like, yeah, cause she a black Twitter, like, person. Like, she came from social media, which is, you know, a lot of the shit is, like, really, centered around blackness. A lot of the things that go viral, a lot of the way people state things politically, a lot of the way people talk in tweets, whether they're white, black, or whatever, if you're over there in the liberal circles, you're gonna start adopting a lot of black slang and black phrasing. And people was coming at her then, I was like, oh, here they go with the, you know, with the shit, like, they gonna, but, you know, she navigated through that. She was able to, like, you know, make it out without people, like, totally framing her as, you know, some type of appropriator and shit. By the end of it, I'm sure people were like, she Afro-Latino or whatever. Cool. Rather her be there than not, you know, but I do wonder when the day is coming, because these Twitter motherfuckers are fickle, and eventually they turn on everybody. It doesn't matter. There's gonna be something you propose that you can't accomplish, and especially being that they are outsiders and don't have the numbers, right now people are like, well, because you're outsiders and you don't have the numbers, these failures don't sit at your feet. But you make enough promises, you start, you know, proposing these ideas, and you never get any passed. At some point, people are going to look at you the same way they look at like a Bernie Sanders or somebody. Like, you always say the right thing, but you don't get shit done, you know?
Right. And also, a lot of times they get on social media, a lot, and a lot of liberal circles, they eat their own. There's no loyalty. There's no, particularly liberals that are very extreme, you know, is whatever is the hot topic to get me trending today or whatever that is. And my thing is, I hope people do find a balance between social media and online, because those millions of followers have a followers they have. Some of them same niggas are people that don't vote. Some of those same people are, you know, doing all this other stuff beside actually voting. So if you can get those people to actually start voting, talk to their family, like if you can turn it into something else, wonderful. But as of right now, I think the hardest part is finding a balance. It has to be a balance, because I think you need both, and you will continue to need both when it comes to certain things. And I, like I said, I'm like you, I can see both sides. I see the new people coming in going, the system is broken, things need to change. Okay, good. And I also see the people that's been there for a long time going, yeah, the system is broken, needs to be changed. But also, we know the ropes, it's the process, nothing moves as quickly, nothing's fast. It's like a big ass ship. It turns, but it turns really, really slow. And so, the squad, if they stay long enough and keep getting reelected, eventually they're going to be veterans too. And it's going to be funny how, as the years pass, how people view them from now and then. I mean, between then and now.
Well, you also, I like the squad and the progressive people being part of the party, because it's either this or they have nowhere to go, or they go to third party, or they go Republican. So while a lot of people feel annoyed as Democrats, like, you know, like, these motherfuckers keep fucking shit up, they always trying to start some shit, I'm not necessarily annoyed with them in that way, because I'm like, this gives people a voice, so they go, well, this is the party of the squad, so if I'm going to be placing a vote, I'm going to vote here, which is good, because you have some people that wouldn't vote, you know, if it wasn't for these people. That being said, as a black person, you know, obviously I'm not a woman of color, but as a black person, I'm a little bit disenchanted with the whole, like, we star shit, we talk shit, anyone that talks back to us, we just gonna be like, this is racism. Yeah. I think that's whack.
Me say.
I think, you know, like, I was reading an article from AOC's campaign manager, who's a pretty controversial person and a former, and like a Bernie bro, and Justice Dems, which is a huge part of where she came from, are the same people that were founded by the Young Turks, who I don't fuck with on any level. I think they're kind of trash for that shit. Like, you know, I know they were part of people that was from the Bernie camp that was like harassing me on social media and stuff. I don't trust them, as and those are, you know, like a lot of AOC's backers and supporters. Cool, do what you need to do. People, strange bedfellows, you know, there's a lot of politicians that have had to make, you know, alliances that I wouldn't make, but I completely understand why, you know. And maybe this is just Bernie Sanders and brown woman face to a lot of the like bros over there, so they're like, oh, we can like I read the article and it almost sounded like he thought he was like taking credit for the women's work in a weird way, like this is like I'm like they're my puppets. And I'm like, okay, these guys seem to think they're the ones in control and that this is helping get their agenda, which was, we need, Democrats are the real problem and we need to, more progressive Democrats, so we need to like target them for their seats, right? The primary them, which some Democrats are against, because like, well, if you primary these motherfuckers and weaken them in the primaries and then they run in the general and lose in a lot of these purple states that aren't blue or like straight up blue, if your theory is wrong, we lose that seat. And if we lose that seat, we have less votes. And if we have less votes, then we're actually in a worse situation than we are right now, where we have less Democrats in the House and Senate. And the math here, the very cynical math by Pelosi, and I think it's actually, at least in my opinion, I do feel like she's right, but we need to just be the party of anti-Trump to the tune of like be progressive, promote your policies, but also make sure that you're like anti-Trump enough so that when we had that surge in 2018, we can continue that to 2020.
Right.
And you know, I think she's more worried about the, or at least, you know, the argument would be, you know, because a lot of people have turned this into just about impeachment. So it's like, by proxy of impeachment, it's like, well, yeah, Nancy Pelosi would never impeach Trump or vote to impeach Trump, so therefore she need to go. She's old, she needs to, you know, because ageism is okay if you say somebody's old, it's not okay if you say somebody's young, right? As I've learned on Twitter last week. So you can say Nancy Pelosi's old and needs to quit and no more old people as president and all this shit.
Old people fucking supposed to disappear.
But if you're dismissive to the to the squad, it's like, well, you ageist against young people. So
it's ageist in both directions.
Yeah, the double standards is all over the place. Anyway, the thing I thought that I think is interesting though is, I mean, the math for Pelosi is we hold impeachment kind of in our back pocket because, one, we know it won't work. The Senate GOP people will never vote for impeachment because we don't have the numbers there, and they actually do support this guy.
Yes, they do.
You can look it up by the numbers. I think the New York Times has a site that's just about the impeachment. Like, hey, will people vote for this? And the answer is no right now. So you need to change the math by getting people out to vote that will vote Democrat, that'll put people in office that will vote for it.
Right.
So that's one front, you know, and I agree with her. I think that's the truth. I don't think impeachment serves any purpose right now other than making certain people feel better. And fuck your feelings. I don't care about your feelings.
Right.
I'm not fighting against it. If you want impeachment so you can feel better, I won't tell you you can't have it. But at the same time, I don't care about how you feel if it doesn't have any tangible effect on the governing, like, American, like, in the American government. I don't
right,
care.
Right. And the motherfucker ain't gonna leave office. So what are we talking about?
Right. Even if you get impeached, you don't have to resign. So, no. You know, it's a bunch of bullshit. And then if he does resign, yeah, Mike Pence. And we only have like less than a year left of his first term. So you're telling me, impeachment proceedings will conclude within the time frame of him? Yeah, like the quickest way to fight him is to get him out of office via votes. What are y'all gonna do about that? Nothing anyone says online is gonna be better than voting. No bickering, none of this shit. And that's the truth. You know,
less than a minute.
All right, so yeah, I had to go to the next session real quick, but yeah, I think. And so the other thing though is I think with the Justice Dems and the squad and stuff, trying to get more progressive members in the Senate and in Congress is still beneficial, very much so, because as you can see, with only like four people in coalition, they're already framing the conversation and moving it left. And I don't know how you can really be against that, you know, at least not on the left. Like, I do appreciate them. I understand it's chaos or whatever. This is also democracy.
Yes, it is.
Democracy is not everybody got to get along and everybody's going to like be friends and shit. Democracy is working together despite the fact that y'all aren't friends. And if their theory is correct, which they seem to believe, we'll find out if it is. I don't know about that, but if their theory is correct and you get more liberal, progressive candidates who win their local elections, and we're looking at solving the problem that Obama couldn't solve in 2008, which was he won, but then, and he had a Democratic majority, but then you had Democrats who were like, I can't vote for the things you want because I'm in a red state, and if I vote this way, I'll lose my seat. And that's something that was frustrating to me as a Democrat. Was like, yo, Obama has these plans. He won the fucking popular and the electoral vote. How the fuck are y'all not how is that not a mandate? And people were like, nah, it's not. Joe Lieberman, nah, it's not. Nah, I'm a blue dog Democrat. I can't support his universal health care. I'll lose my seat if I say I'm with this these proposals he has.
A lot of them lost their seats any fucking way.
And a lot of them lost their seats anyway. So I don't want to go through that again. So that's the reason that I feel like I'm one of the only people that's sitting around like, I would like both of these groups to succeed. I want Pelosi to succeed because she's doing her job seeing the big picture. And I want the squad to succeed because they have the power to affect change because they understand the media game now. Mm-hmm. They understand, they're much more savvy with social media. And they're proposing things that they know will get the general popular, like, opinion of the public up, even if it doesn't pass. They know that these are things that make, well, you can turn to the people and go, well, if you guys would vote on more politicians that agree with us, we wouldn't have to, our proposals won't get stuck.
Agreed.
You know, if you get some of these Republicans out of here. Now, they're, the thing for me is, and I think seeing so many people get caught up in this is disappointing, because Nancy Pelosi's job is like, how do we get the entire state, entire country to have the will to be blue? How do we push enough people to blue? Right? Like, I can't focus on, like, if it's moderate, then it's moderate. Whatever it takes to win. And the, obviously the Justice Dems is, you know, how do we turn just the Democrats more progressive? I think both things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they get along or not, I don't give a fuck about.
Mm-mm.
But both things can happen. And yeah, I find their tactics to be annoying sometimes, and I find them to be, you know, kind of disingenuous sometimes. But nigga, if that's what it take to win, I get it. Same thing with Pelosi. If that's what it take to win, I get it. I think they're literally working in a symbiotic relationship, with Pelosi being like, y'all attack me in public. If y'all got to go after somebody, stop attacking individual members who might have weak standing, and y'all fucking fuck they whole shit up. And that, it's not that we get a more progressive candidate. We actually get no fucking seat. Let me worry about that shit. But if y'all have a problem with the party in general or moderates in general, come at me. It's much easier for y'all to get y'all, like, y'all can rise to power off of just saying, I ain't shit. Much easier, and much better. And it actually, and she even said it'll help fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
For y'all, mm-hmm, and for us. Like, this is a big picture. And I think, seeing people get so caught up in the soap opera of it and so easily, like, you know, it reminds me of, like, people that said, I voted for Obama for hope and change. And then they turned on Obama for 8 years. Like, fuck him. He never brought all the change. He wasn't good enough. And I'm like, I listened to Obama in 2008 and I felt like he was more centrist than that level of progressive that you're claiming he is.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he proposed the progressive policies that he ran on, didn't have the support. Couldn't run roughshod through the world and be like, y'all just do what I say. You know, he wasn't gonna just write fuck. And even then, he still got labeled as a guy who used executive action to pass his progressive policies. Even with that. Right? Oh, the executive order in chief, you know, shit like that. And I watched that. And I was like, yo, that's fucked up. Y'all really lamed out on this dude. Y'all really took 2 years. Not lamed out. Y'all really gave up on this dude. After two years, y'all gave up. He didn't pass everything right away. Fuck him. That's it. And then left him out there for basically the next 6 years by himself.
Right. I was like, y'all don't know how the government works, do you?
Right. Which is fine. What I find interesting is I feel like those same people who said I was so enamored with Obama and then I learned over the next 8 years how politics actually works, and it's not just one guy can just, like, give a speech and everybody do the right thing. You know, he faced infinite backlash to being the first black president. And probably the most successful of the blacks. All the respectability requirements passed. And yet still caught hella flack, right? I feel like them same people are falling for this shit with the squad, where they're like, mm-hmm, you know, it's the same type of, like, I don't see any game here. They're just going to work, doing their jobs, and there is no strategy here. There is no, PR here. There is no spin here. This is just how it is. And I'm like, y'all about to do the same fucking thing to them. And I'm not saying it because I don't support them. I'm saying literally, I can see before it happens, y'all are gonna start shitting on them when they don't do the exact right thing. When they don't, yes. When you don't see the bigger picture and you don't realize, oh, well, they did have to compromise and vote with this person they were just talking shit about because they need to win these seats, or they need to get their idea passed, and they're not gonna pass the purity test for their entire fucking careers because you just don't get to be in these positions and stay pure, or they're gonna abstain from something and y'all are gonna be pissed about that. Like, wow, they could have, you know, I mean, shit, they're low key kind of lucky that the older Democrats aren't as savvy with the media, because maybe they are savvy and they I don't know, they were trying to be nice about it or whatever, but they could have put them out there on some like, they the real reason that we don't have funding for the people at the border, so they went down there to see them kids in cages, but when we voted to like give the kids money, give money to get those kids out of, you know, in better situations, they said no. They could have said it that way. They didn't, but they could have said it that way on some like, it's their fault. Meanwhile, you don't have the votes in the Senate either way. Them four, you know, like them votes ain't changing much anyway, but they could let them be the face of like, these are the Democrats that really need to go, but they didn't do that, which I think is smart, you know. But yeah, it's just all about this infighting to me, like, it just, I see both sides needing each other eventually.
They will, because they have to get a balance.
And I think they're a huge threat to President Trump,
mm-hmm.
because he went at them and they ain't had shit to do with him. He went at them and he knew that divide between Pelosi and them would help him. So of course he's, oh, let me go out and give a wholehearted support of Nancy Pelosi, who he hates. And it's so weird to see people so stupid that they're like, see, Trump wouldn't be supporting you if it wasn't a racist like him. It's like, yo, are you dumb? This nigga is a racist, period, point blank. He hates Nancy Pelosi, period, point blank. It's not a, they don't agree on shit. And of course, you know, she released a statement being like, yo, what he did was fucked up, and it's really your fault. You cannot blame her for his fucking racism. This nigga been racist since racism was racism.
Come on.
What are you talking about? Like, it's just so weird to see people fall for the shit so easily. But, you know, at any rate, man, one thing you can depend on is fake ass Republicans like Meghan McCain, who says she's humiliated by the GOP's non-reaction to Trump's racist tweets.
No, she ain't.
Ma'am, this is Starbucks. It can't just be me and Geraldo. Somebody else has to come against this. What are you talking about? This is literally the thing you get on TV and defend every fucking day. And this was a chance for her to virtue signal as, I'm not that kind of racist. You know, like, you were over here talking shit about Ilhan Omar yourself. Now Trump does it, it's too far, right? Fuck out of here. You feel this way, he's just the id, okay? He says it. He's the ego, I guess, whatever it is. He says it. Y'all feel it, y'all vote for it, y'all agree with it, but he says it. He says the real thing that y'all think. And then you go, that's too much. No. I don't need, not like this. I just want to hate the blacks and browns, but in a good way.
In private.
Yeah, in the old school way. Another person wrote, Karen Tumulty wrote an open letter to President Obama. We need someone who could lift us up again. Enter President Obama. Mr. President, it is time. You must speak. Your country needs you.
Mm-mm. He's not president anymore. He's done his time. I'm tired of motherfuckers acting like Barack and Michelle Obama owe y'all. They don't owe y'all a motherfucking thing. They did all they could for 8 years and told y'all who y'all need to vote for, and y'all said fuck them.
Yep.
They're out here still doing shit. They're out here still doing things for the mass and for the public. I'm tired of these white folks telling this Negro to come and save them. Bitch, for what?
Not just that, but like, all of this is a reaction to President Obama's presidency.
Right.
All he had to do was be black and better than most white people at the job, and the fucking country went crazy. Trump's not in office if not for President Obama. They resent President Obama more than they resent anything. Like, that's why we have Trump. Like, what do we, they fell for this idea that Obama was the racism whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he can talk to these races and they'll stop being racist. I voted for Obama twice and then I voted for Trump. Yeah, cause you racist. Everyone thinks that voting for Obama means a person isn't racist. But the things that they voted for Obama for was shit like to finally shut these black people up and stuff. You know, they, the, or because fucking George W. Bush had fucked up so bad.
So bad.
And John McCain wasn't really the overt racist that they really needed. You know, Trump was. So the thing, Barack Obama can like come to white man whisperer and fix the country with just his words is ridiculous. He's the problem to a lot of these racist people.
Yes, he is. And like I said, they're a lot better people than, you know, me. Because I done told them, y'all kiss my ass. I'm not running for office no more.
100 social media right-wing influencers were at the White House last week. Y'all think Obama can just say some magic words and fix this shit? Many of the cases for most of y'all, the same Obama that y'all shitted on the entire time he's in office. Didn't like when he said that shit about Trayvon Martin. Didn't like when he said the shit about Ferguson. Didn't like the shit. Didn't like his Justice Department overhauling police stuff. Didn't think his Justice Department went far enough overhauling police stuff. Didn't think, you know, was upset that he got the Nobel Peace Prize, before even doing anything in office just by not being George W. Bush. Thought he droned too many people. Even though Trump is droning more. No one talks about it anymore. Called him the deporter in chief. All right, don't like his deportation policies. Now you think he can come back and heal the country because the deportation policies are worse under this new president. Like, he can't do shit for you.
He's a private citizen.
Private, public, whatever the fuck. He can't do shit for you. Because the things that you don't really want him either.
Mm-mm.
You want some imaginary motherfucker that's perfect, that says the right things and moves the hearts and minds, and that's nothing. You didn't even listen to him when he said go vote. Cause you don't like Hillary Clinton. I wasn't inspired enough by Hillary Clinton. Barack Obama, if you want my policies to be furthered, vote for Hillary Clinton. Michelle Obama, we gotta go out there and vote. Right? Everybody told your ass. Hillary Clinton, hey, look, the fucking, Supreme Court is at stake here.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all found every fucking reason to nitpick that shit and be like, I ain't voting, or I'm third party, or I'm just, you know, I'm so uninspired, or let me write 12 shitty articles about Hillary Clinton and then none about Trump. Like, yeah, we saw this, you know. Well, really, it's like both sides. How many times was it both sides with Obama or Hillary? Well, to be fair, we have to raise the bar to critique them and lower the bar to critique Republicans. We see it all the time. So no one's coming out of the fucking bat cave to fucking talk to y'all gently.
Yeah, I'm tired of these articles. Stop that shit.
And if he did it, nothing would happen.
Nothing.
I saw Mark Lamont Hill tweeting about like Nancy Pelosi, so you really endorse and empower Donald Trump, white supremacists and da da da. I said, Mark Lamont Hill, nigga, you the one that said vote for Jill Stein. You said we could take Trump as president, it'll be good for the country, and never addressed it. I love when he tweets, because every time he tweets, everybody retweets that shit and goes, but what about the shit you said? He never addresses it, and an angel gets his wings every fucking time. It's the best. It's the fucking best. I hope he never stops tweeting about politics, just so people can be like, why the fuck would I listen to you? All the people that claim to want accountability, none of them motherfuckers ever be accountable for the shit they do. Look around. It's everywhere. That was one of the main things that put me off people, was like, wait, you never apologize. All you do is ask for apologies. You fuck up all the time.
And demand apologies,
but you never fucking apologize yourself. Where's the accountability? Anyway, what was good that came of this was that the squad responded to Trump. You guys can go check out the video, but all four of them got their time to shine and talk shit about Donald Trump. Ayanna Pressley killed it. Ilhan Omar killed it. AOC was only spoke for like 2 minutes. But yeah, it was dope, you know, because they were basically going against his tweets. And the reason I really fucking like them is because they're so smart and savvy and ahead of the curve with this shit, because they knew, like, yo, we should he singled us out, let's use the spotlight he's now shown on us to denigrate his ass and to talk about the policies and things we do want to pass. So smart.
Yes, it is.
You know, like the old school Democrats are more like, you know what, let's not play his game and feed back into it by going back and forth with him in the public and all this shit. And I'm like, nah, that's where y'all fuck up. You become a star, you get people on your side by actually going against him and being like, fuck him. Now, in all fairness, the reason the older Democrats probably can't do that is because they've had such an erosion of goodwill mm-hmm. over the course of, you know, X amount of years of their career. You just can't go on TV and be like, fuck Trump, without people being like, well, fuck you, bitch, you was doing this in 1970. But these new politicians can do that because they ain't been around long enough to have that baggage. So, like, them as an attack wing of this party, especially against Donald Trump, so powerful. You have women of color who are make up your the most, like, the most
voter base,
loyal part of your voter base, who want to feel represented. You have these four women who are clearly representative of progressives. They're clearly social media savvy. They're on the pulse of Twitter and all this stuff. This is what the fuck the Democrats do need. This is an injection of steroids to a lot of the things the Democrats need, and they're pushing for the stars. So if they miss, you get the moon. Like, there's no downside to these women being out there, especially seeing them today, like, focused on Trump and not Pelosi. You see it now. I do worry, because just as them, people seem to be way more focused on Democrats than Republicans. And, you know, we'll see what the game theory on that shit is. Like, are y'all about to put a lot of Democrats out of power thinking that y'all made it better when y'all really made it worse? I don't know. You know, so that's the main things I took from it. But yeah, the press conference was dope as fuck. I watched all of it. And yeah, those women are forced to be fucking reckoned with. The fact that it's only four of them and they really have kind of become the focal point of the entire discussion on, like, immigration, on progressive policies, on resistance to Trump. I mean, dog, that platform, you know. And I hope people learn how to galvanize and work with them rather than fight against them, because while you might win the fight on the number of votes, you're gonna lose it in public.
Yes.
And the fact that they're, you know, whether you agree with it or not, the fact that they're willing to be like, well, if you're against us, you're against women of color. I mean, that's pretty powerful in the Democratic Party. Like I said, I can see people feeling like that's a very low tactic or whatever, but if it helps shut up the people that have dissent against you, then I can see why people do it. I mean, like I said, people do it on Twitter all the time, and until mm-hmm. folks get tired of it or tired of them, I mean, it normally works.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's pretty much all the Trump shit, but I wanted to talk about that. I didn't want to skip over it.
Mm-mm.
And it was different than other weekends, because it started involving, like, Democrats in a large way. And for me, just watching people, like, totally buy into, like, one side or the other was just kind of weird. It was like, but there's clearly a game at play here. It's pretty, you know, man, this is almost 2 hours. All right, I'll do some white people news and we'll get out of here, guys. Let's see what we got. Like I said, no pictures. Sorry.
Aww.
Well, you, okay. JonBenet Ramsey, photographer, arrested on child porn charges.
Oh! Didn't see that coming.
A 66-year-old Oregon photographer known for taking images of JonBenet Ramsey in the months before her 1996 murder has been arrested on child porn charges. Randall Simmons downloaded images using the Wi-Fi of an A&W restaurant near his home.
A&W.
Now see, that's how you know you was doing child porn. This nigga went to a public restaurant Wi-Fi,
the free Wi-Fi, the ones with no passwords,
thinking he was keeping the feds off of him. The arrest is getting attention because Simmons famously was hired by the Ramsey family in June 1996 to take photos of their six-year-old beauty pageant contestant. She was killed in December. After her death, Simmons came under fire for selling a portfolio of Glamour JonBenet images. I'll probably never work again, he said at the time. So yeah, he was arrested in 1998 and accused of walking nude down a street in the town of Genoa, Colorado.
Oh.
He allegedly said to arresting deputy unprovoked, "I didn't kill JonBenet." The brother of JonBenet sued CBS after a damning investigation of the still unsolved murders.
Yeah, that's really white people news, because honey, every few years, every other year on the anniversary, it's everywhere.
Oh, they love JonBenet.
Yes, they do.
Like that, that's girl. That's like
the poster child of white women. I know she's a little girl, but you know, that's the poster child. We got to find this, who killed this little girl.
That white girl that went missing on the island that time.
They still looking for her ass too.
Yep. Channing Tatum revealed he was in therapy on Friday during a rant about the eerie accuracy of an astrology app, The Pattern, that he just downloaded. The 39-year-old Independent Spirit Award winner, where the free social media app, which reportedly launched in 2017, was listening to his conversations through the phone. I was just in there. Oh wait, here it is.
Okay. I need some answers, okay? Because I don't know if I'm late to this or if I'm early to this, but what is this pattern? It's an app. I just downloaded it called The Pattern, and it asked me to put in my birth date and my time of birth. By the way, how are you supposed to know your time of birth? I hope anyone that does this has a parent that loves them and is half responsible, because I don't even know how I would have figured that out. Anyways, how do you know what you know about me, Pattern? People of The Pattern, people that use The Pattern, you need to DM me right now and tell me how you know this stuff. I don't even know if I want to know this stuff. I don't even know if I want to know. I don't know if anybody should know this stuff. I was just in therapy yesterday. Yeah, I'm in therapy. Whatever, everybody should be in therapy. And I just get a notification on my phone this morning.
Shout out to therapy.
Pops up, and using the exact words that we were using in therapy. Is the phone listening? Are you listening through the phone, Pattern? AI, the algorithm that is The Pattern, are you listening through my phone and then just regurgitating the stuff that I'm afraid of and the stuff? You know what? Pattern people, you should just call me. That's what should happen right now. You should just DM me. If you know so much, you know how to get in touch with me now, don't you? So just do that. Just, I need answers right now.
I already feel better.
The official Pattern Instagram account replied, informing Glenville State College dropout that he crashed their servers today. Also,
because everybody went to go download the app.
Also, how shady of the article to mention he dropped out of college. Also commenting was the born and bred vodka creator's girlfriend of 9 months, pop star Jessie J, who claimed she was the Pattern. The 31-year-old Grammy nominee first met Channing in 2015 when she presented him with the MTV Movie Award for Best Comedic Performance for his film 21 Jump Street. Oh, that's back when he was married. Wonder what happened. The British beauty was busy back in her native UK, where she was bringing her 16-date Lasty tour to the Evoke Festival at Brentwood Center this Saturday. Tatum also Insta-storied a vintage B&W snapper himself, I guess black and white, chilling in a large silver bucket on Friday, revealing how filthy he used to be as a child. When I was little, they wouldn't even let me bathe in the house, the Lego Movie 2 second part actor recalled. I'd come home filthy and they'd throw the hose in this metal trough in the yard and I'd have to bathe in that before they let me in the house. Ha, not gonna lie, I kind of missed it. The Sunday jury prize winner is likely still reeling from his pending divorce he's not even divorced yet, from wife Jenna Dewan, sharing custody of their six-year-old daughter Everly. The 38-year-old resident actress moved on with Tony and Grammy-winning actor Steve Kazee in October, the same month she filed for divorce to end their 8-year marriage. career wise, Channing is, women always be having an exit plan, don't they? Channing is, it's like a Tarzan swinging from vine to vine. She's like, I want a divorce. Also, I'm moving in with my man. Bye. Career wise, Channing is producing a Broadway Brown production of Magic Mike, which runs November 30th through January 5th at Emerson Colonial Theater in Boston. So that's what's going on with Channing Tatum. The Pattern app. How many of y'all are going to download it now? Robin Thicke's fiance is under fire for giving her 16-month-old flaming hot Cheetos. April Love Geary has clapped back at critics.
Why? You got to clean that shit up when it come out. The shit gonna be flaming hot.
April Love Geary has clapped back at critics who shamed over feeding a 16-month-old daughter flaming hot Cheetos. A 24-year-old model who has two daughters with her fiance Robin Thicke is facing heavy criticism on social media after sharing a video of their little girl Mia chowing down on a fiery snack on Monday. Those Cheetos are beyond toxic. She's just a child. Go read a parenting book. One Instagram user commented, prompted April to respond, you're beyond toxic for my children. Meanwhile, on Instagram.
Yippee-ki-yo, yippee-ki-yo.
In the clip, Mia is sitting on April's lap eating from a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos while Robin, 42, laughs next to her. Oh, he's robbing the cradle out here. 24 and 42. I see you, player. April also April also posted the video on her Instagram stories along with a snapshot of her eldest daughter eating a snack in her high chair. Definitely my child, she captioned a second clip of Mia eating a spicy snack. In addition to the critics she received in the comment section of her post, someone also sent her a DM containing a screenshot of a 2013 article about flaming hot Cheetos sending multiple children to the emergency room each year. Some doctors have warned that hot flavorings can damage the stomach lining, causing it to become inflamed and painfully acidic. We're here for a good time, not a long time, she hit back before sharing a screenshot of the exchange on her Instagram stories. April shared the same sentiment when another Instagram user insisted she needed to stop feeding this GMO to her baby girl. There were also plenty of people who found a video.
Everybody getting their goddamn high horses when they kill other people's kids, don't they? Because if you read the internet, everything you fucking eat is fucked up. Everything got a drug, a pesticide, or something in it's gonna kill you.
All of y'all have eaten worse.
Come on.
When you were babies, okay? Like, not even just Cheetos. Like, somebody probably used to rub brown liquor on your gums and shit. And you up here talking about GMOs.
Come on, children crawling, putting their hands and feet on the floor, sticking them in their mouths and shit. Yes, this is what the fuck kids do.
Oh man. Oh God. We've all lived through worse. I can't believe y'all. Like your parents used to chain smoke around y'all. You still here? Figured it out. There were also plenty of people found the videos cute. Oh my God, yes, she likes them. She's one of us. Yeah, she has some fucking Cheetos. It'll be alright.
That she didn't eat them and spontaneously combust.
It'll be alright.
It won't be the last baby to eat it either.
Some of y'all disgusting sons of bitches put sugar in your grits. That's the real scourge of society. That's really parents that's abusing children, but nobody says anything. They just, oh, it's just a difference of opinions, just a lifestyle choice. Okay. But y'all worry about some Cheetos. Okay. Cool. Another mom said her son makes a face when he is eating because they're so hot, but still goes in for another all while tearing up. The model explained that little Mia actually loves spicy flavor, saying she's like completely not fazed by them, LOL. She likes to suck the flavor off, then eat them. One Instagram user pointed out that whether they agree with her or not, what April feeds her daughter is none of their business. Well, you put it on Instagram, it's everybody's business.
Apparently.
Y'all be out here trying to explain things. When I was homeless, my girl took me in, fed me, helped me go to college, and now today I am marrying her and I am a CEO of my own company and a billionaire. Fuck you, nigga. Okay, first of all, your broke ass was, I'm like, oh man, y'all better stop sharing this shit. Just be happy y'all happy y'all made it through that shit. There's a whole bunch of people out here that didn't make it through that shit that's mad as fuck, waiting for the next nigga to come up talking about some, I need you to invest in me. Okay, so don't just let it be your personal relationship. Don't put a testament to it on Instagram. And that's kind of what happened with this baby. Like, oh, here's a cute video of my, like, if I was at your house and if I go to my brother's house and like Sebastian or Lorenzo, Lonzo are eating, Lorenzo are eating, some fucking like tasty chips. I'm just going to be like, oh yeah, they babies. Sometimes they eat a chip or two. I don't think you're like abusing them or they're only eating these chips or what, like.
Chips for you and nothing else.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Would you put that shit on Instagram? Potato chips are abuse, first of all. You are dooming your child, okay?
Potatoes have feelings. All potato lives matter.
Yeah. You know, more babies die from hot Cheetos than anything in America, ever.
Why don't you give them sweet potato versus the white potatoes?
Right. Anyway, that's funny as shit, man. Hopefully the Flamin' Hot Cheetos don't take out that baby and we won't be covering this in a week like, oh, guess you shouldn't have gave that baby the Cheetos. I don't got no babies. I don't know shit about no babies.
Mm-mm. I don't know. Did they die from that? I don't know.
Snake massages are a thing. Enjoy at your own risk.
A who?
Snake massage.
Snake got arms?
No. Are you looking for a powerful thrill? Want to get over your fear of snakes? Although not exactly recommended, you can get a snake massage.
So what do they squeeze you to death?
When you enter a New York shop, Dreaming Goddess, a woman named Serpentessa can help you with this unusual $300 service.
$300?
The massage lasts a minimum of 1 hour, 15 minutes, and involves letting multiple boa constrictors sliver across your body.
Shit, $300, I can get several two-hour massages. I can probably get like a good old Thai massage. Ooh, yeah, if I'm paying $300, I'm getting several massages.
According to Serpentessa, the snakes tone and stimulate the vagus nerve in our body, and that releases endorphins and oxytocin. Yet the question of the day is still hanging in the air. Is the massage even safe? The snake therapist herself admits she cannot control where the snakes go on a person's body. Serpentessa does say that her snakes have never hurt anyone.
What?
Will be the first. However, several trained captive snakes have been known to hurt people, even if just by accidents. Last year, an experienced snake owner, Brandon, was killed by his 8-foot python named Tiny. Brandon was found with signs of asphyxiation and Tiny was lying on the floor nearby at the time of his death. Well, they do choke people that's kind of what they do.
That's what they do. That's their job. Like somebody said, broken bones, fucking up your organs.
Officials reiterated that Tiny probably didn't kill Brandon on purpose, but she may have been showing some sort of affection or keeping herself from falling to the floor. Either way, Brandon was endangered by this repeated exposure to such a powerful animal. Boa constrictors and pythons aren't poisonous snakes, though they do have teeth. However, constrictors subdue their prey by wrapping themselves around them and squeezing to inhibit circulation. These animals generally stick to animals for food, but have been known to attack larger prey for food or survival. One important note is that the boa constrictors don't often attack humans unless they feel threatened. However, veterinarian Lisa Lipman points out that it's difficult to know when the snakes might get defensive. The reality is that these snakes are powerful predators. Unless you're okay with the risk that kind of massage entails, maybe tourists in Poughkeepsie, New York area would rather stick to stores, other offerings like clothing and crystals. Yeah, I have...
What happened to normal, regular-ass massages by people?
I actually have a feeling that they don't have a massage license in the place where they sell clothing and crystals.
No.
Like, I don't think...
No.
I don't think I want to go to Infinity's Inn to get my snake massage, you know what I'm saying?
No, where I get my CBD oil, no.
Alright, last white people news one. We're talking about animals here. Well, we talking about massages with snakes?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about yoga with tigers?
Oh no! Oh, so the tiger gonna be doing a downward dog?
The Big Cat Habitat and Gulf Coast Sanctuary in Florida has a unique yoga program. Oh wait, why did the article just reload? I was already trying. God damn it.
Are they roaming free?
The tigers?
Yes.
I guess we'll get to that question, the answer to that question when I read the article, whenever it pops back up. Which, I don't know why I decided to just fucking, maybe that's, it was just like, you know what? No one needs this.
No one asked for this!
No one wants to see this.
You know how they be like, nobody. Tiger and yoga class.
Right. The Big Cat Habitat in Gulf Coast Sanctuary Sarasota has a unique yoga program that amid the enclosures housing some of its 50 big cats. Tigers and other big cats will be safely in their enclosures and you'll be practicing around their habitats. The Big Cat Habitat and Gulf Coast Sanctuary posted on Facebook event. Yoga with Tigers is intended to provide people with exercise and of the body and mind through yoga combined with up close experience with lion, tigers and other big cats. It's available for 24 people every fourth Saturday with the next session beginning July 27th. Sanctuary officials said the event will be expanded to 50 slots in the future. The $40 ticket also includes a pass for the entire sanctuary. There are a limited number of spaces available for this event. Advanced registration is strongly encouraged. Sanctuary houses about 150 animals in total.
So basically they took the zoo and was like, how can we make more money? Let's make a yoga class around the zoo animals.
Mm-hmm. Around the sanctuary.
Yeah, what happened if that tiger don't like your position and just decides to fuck you up and fuck this cage?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they are in the cages. I guess if they don't come out when people just go visit regularly, why would they come out during yoga, you know?
I don't know. Like,
why do people ever go to zoos then?
But with the zoos, it's still some distance. I mean, how far are, my question is, how far are you going to be away from these animals?
No idea. Because
with the zoo, I am a reasonable amount of distance. Not that I could ever fucking outrun these animals, but I'm far enough that if I need to get away, I have a higher probability of getting away versus my face down, I'm doing a tree stance or some shit like that, and all of a sudden a fucking tiger decides to swipe me. I wasn't prepared. Mm-hmm. At least at the zoo, I'm looking at it.
Okay. Are you okay over there?
Yes.
I don't think that throwing people in the tiger pit like the Coliseum and saying do yoga, so I think they'll probably be okay. Kim,
I hope so, because we're gonna be reading an article and be like, yeah, tiger swiped a woman.
Okay. Well, we'll see. You never know, white people.
Well, I can't get Zenny with a tiger looking me in the eye.
Sword ratcheting time. A woman in her 60s was threatened with a sword during the aggravated burglary in Cole Antrim. Wait, what? Didn't we read this yesterday?
I don't remember.
I read this one. Because that was Bailey Bolly Road, I think.
Bibbidi Bobbidi Doo Boulevard.
A man is shot and killed by police after injuring an officer with a sword. A man in Virginia was shot and killed by police after seriously injuring the officer with a sword. Happened around 9:20 p.m. Wednesday in Timberville, about half an hour west of Luray. Town police were called to a home on the 600 block of Lone Pine Drive for what state police called an ongoing domestic situation. The Timberville police officer arrived to find 50-year-old Michael S. Norquist barricaded inside. When the officer was able to get inside, Norquist assaulted him with a sword. The officer then shot Norquist, who died at the scene. The officer was taken to hospital where he was treated for serious injuries, and he has since been released. Norquist's body has been taken to the medical examiner's officer in Roanoke for exam and autopsy. Mm-mm-mm. And of course, the Virginia State Police are investigating the incident just to make sure things on the up and up. But damn, these sword motherfuckers, man, they're crazy. Mm-hmm. All right. We're out. We'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 with Brandon Collins and Mike Brown of the Comedy Outliers podcast, and it should be fun. So until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.